purify, you stay definitely pure. That's why the example comes over to now. You stay definitely pure, but y'all quit marrying all these Moabites and all these Ites and all these stuff. But they didn't. Israel would just fall right back in and marry an Amorite or a Hittite or a Jebusite, and then war started. God would kick them out of the land for a while, and then he'd let them come back. But see, that was God's grace. Because he knew they didn't have the new birth. Brother Branham said, if David would have had a new birth, he wouldn't have done what he did. But God knew his heart that if he could give him the new birth, he would not do what he did. But he couldn't give it to him because, see, God had that when Adam... Remember, Adam wasn't deceived. Eve was deceived. Adam literally gave that back to God, the ability for us to come as children of God. So God had to hold that through the Old Testament all the way down until he came down as a baby, lived a life, then he come back, give his life. We'll read it in just a second if we ever get to it. Gave his life and came back into the believer to make you a child of God, to make you a son and daughter of God. So only sons and daughters of God are in the New Testament, which started on the day of Pentecost, which is Acts 3. We can't say Acts 1 because Jesus was still here in Acts 1. Remember, Jesus ascended in Acts 1, Acts 2. And you know what? You say, well, that's technicality. Well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus was still under the law. The Bible said he had to come under the law. Judah was the lawgiver. Remember, he didn't come from Levi. He came from Judah.
Right.
Which really, that was Joseph. But still, the Bible says he's the line of the tribe of Judah. And I like what Brother Claude said. We were talking about the line of the tribe of Judah. You know, there's like somebody, Brother Dale may have told this. You know, there's only one animal that loves to hear the lion roar?
Human.
No.
Another lion.
It's the lioness. She loves to hear that roar. Everybody else shakes in their boots and she's over there going, that's my mate. That's my boy. He's hollering at me and I'm going to find him. Well, see, that's us. We're the lioness, because remember, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion roars. Who can hear? Well, the lioness. The bride. And you know what? She's not afraid of it. Like I said, everybody else is shaking in her boots and running off. But the lioness is going, I'm finding now.
Yeah, because he doesn't eat her.
Huh?
He doesn't eat her.
You know, that's right.
The females do the hunting.
You know, literally the females do all the hunting. The males really don't. Well, never mind. Let's get on something. It's kind of like the drone bees, you know. They're just there for one purpose and one purpose only. They don't even have a stinger. They can't even protect anything. They just eat and look fuzzy and got big eyes and a big belly. So, and hang around for one thing. Where were we? Getting education here. But it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not. I don't see where they don't see this. I understand. Listen, let me get back to that. When people read the Bible, they think these people are so great, they must be born again. Yeah. That's just humanly, being ill taught, there's nowhere where Brother Brown said they got the new birth. Nowhere that the Old Testament. And really, he said something one time, and I can't find that quote for nothing. I found it one time where he talks about Abraham. Typing the new birth, but he didn't have it. But I find it is there's terminology, you know. You got to put in the right words to get the quote. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now, can you say that?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you are his body.
Right.
Ma'am, go ahead.
I want to say something about the lion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the lion is the protector of the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
If anything else tries to come in to disrupt their tribe, that lion will go after that and kill that other lion.
No doubt.
So he's their His bride's protector. Sure. He watches his wife and his children.
That's real close to bride, you know. You said pride. Bride.
Bride.
He is our protector, that's for sure. So let's move on. All right. But a body has now prepared me. Are you going to lose this one?
No.
You're not losing this one.
Right.
Those who he has justified, he has already. Now listen, I'm already glorified inside.
Right.
If you're born again, you're glorified. Right? So what's going to be glorified? I read it last Sunday upstairs. Jesus Christ came and inherited eternal life in his flesh so that you can have eternal life in your flesh. And your flesh can be eternal. Okay? And
can I say something?
Pray for me to have wisdom because we're going back up to Kentucky. June and I are going to go up to the hunting camp in Illinois at the end of the month, and the brothers asked me to come preach in his church. The one that said there was not enough. There's not enough to get your body redeemed. Anyway, go ahead.
I just want to say, talking about a body change, mm-hmm. I just happened to think, all through the years I've thought this, one of the things I remember as a kid that your daddy taught way back, we were kids, was I remember him standing up there talking about the body change and how each cell was, he was teaching the same thing like that.
Okay. But most people, even message people, I know for sure, denominational people, they believe that whatever this body is, it's just going to go away and you're going to get a brand new one.
Right.
New as in different.
Right.
Most people in the message believe that too. But Jesus resurrected. If he had enough power, you go back to, we read it in Romans 8, if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body.
That's right.
If he quickened his own mortal body into eternity, and that was his inheritance. Remember, I read you the quote. Brother Brown said, he inherited eternal life. Now remember, he didn't need it in his spirit. He didn't need it in his soul. He needed it in his body. So he inherited eternal life by dying, coming back and stepping into that body. He inherited eternal life in his flesh. So guess what? If we're heirs and joint heirs, Romans 8, 14, if we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ, we get what he gets.
Right.
So this body, see, it'd be really easy to say redeemed, but most people are saying replaced. You don't replace anything in redemption. No. No, you take what you have. Like Brother Dale was talking about, like Brother Ram used the analogy of the glass. I used it when we were in Jamaica. The glass. Now look, the glass is filthy, dirty, and God picks it up. But he's got a use for it, but he's not going to pour anything in it now. But he didn't change that glass into plastic. He didn't change that glass into brick and mortar. No, he took the glass. And the glass is the structure of you. Because what does he do? The glass doesn't hold the product outside. It holds the product inside. Okay, same way with you and I. It holds the product inside. And then God's going to take this thing and make it eternal. To me, that's full redemption. That's like me and Dave were talking about yesterday, or day before yesterday. You can't see people are saying that he and I are teaching that the seventh seal's not open. If I knew that, I wouldn't be preaching. If I thought the seventh seal wasn't open, because the seventh seal is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What I've been preaching, I don't know how people get that. You see how people can miss what you're...
Exactly.
There's a brother called a brother in this church and said, Brother Dale, Brother Wade, believe the seventh seal is not open. Now, how many times have we said it was?
Right.
Now, remember, you can take a quote from me the other day when I said, if you think it's closed, it is.
Right.
And it is.
Right.
If you think it's closed, if you think that door's closed, it is.
Right.
But now, if you see it open, like I see this one where Luis is sitting, it's open.
Right.
So, I mean, so there's how that people can take a quote in the message and turn it right around. The only hope we've got is the seventh seal open.
Right.
And Christ came on the scene in the first seal that we started teaching a year ago, and you should be able to see that was Christ in you, and that's your journey. The seven seals are not a journey of God, of angels, of horse riders. It's a journey of you. How that you're going to come to a body change.
Right.
My people, please. This is important.
Amen.
Wherefore, when he cometh in the world, he says, sacrifice and offer thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In other words, he's been preparing his church body since the day of Pentecost. But he did have a literal body made for it. God took the egg and took the sperm and put it together and put it in Eve. That was a body. Alright? In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. No pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of I. You. Now that's Christ, but that's the this volume of this book is written. Why do you think the Bible was written? For the devil? For cats or dogs or animals or plants or cars or potatoes or... It was written for you. That you can read it in your flesh. Listen, we're not... I'll say this and get in trouble. We're not going to need this Bible when we take a body change. We will be the Bible. When you walk in, when they walk into that city, they, meaning the people that live on the outside, walk into that city, they're going to know you are the Word made flesh. And you don't have to carry around one of these or one of these. Because you, that what? When John ate the book, where'd it go? It disappeared. Into John. Right?
That's right.
Amen.
Amen? It disappeared into John. That's why this is the secret coming of Christ. It's going to disappear in you. That's the seventh seal. That's his appearing. His appearing is so awkward that nobody, even half the people in this message, I'm sorry. We talk about all that out there, but bring it in here. And you see a preacher, a pastor stand up and say there's not enough redemption to change your body and be a message preacher. I can't. I'm just, that blows me away. So anyway, but maybe they need help. Maybe that's the reason we're going up in that direction. I'm not going to touch on it, but I am going to ask him about it. Privately. I will not do it in front of anybody. So I want to know what he's talking about. Maybe I misunderstood what he said. But Daddy and me both looked at each other, you know, on the front row. So I hope he didn't see it. Anyway. And said, you can't help it when you hear that and you go, he's in a Baptist church maybe, but a Mexican church has been in there forever, you know, and you go. Then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book is written of me to do thy will, O God. We're going to stop right there and go on up. God bless you.
Thank you.
See you next Sunday. And then the next Sunday, we're going to be gone. So I'll get somebody to do that. And you know what? Don't forget this. Look at the one that made you a father.
Yeah. Happy Father's Day.
And say, thank you.
There you go. Good job.
Yes,
yes. I'm not, hey, you see me? Look, hey, I'm not clapping.
Hey, man, I'm going to perform with that live one.
Yes.
But not like...
I told him thank you. I told him thank you for making me a father. Now I'll clap.
Yes, sir.
Well,
that's really blessed about, you know, 9 months old.
Alright. We're on Hebrews 10. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have our visitor from Jamaica. Where's she at? There she is. Hold on a minute. Let me get them in. Sister Francine Reed from Jamaica. If y'all are looking for her in the country of Jamaica, she's in America now. So, happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Lord bless you. And
where's Luis today?
They'll be here in a little while. He's like certain people. He's got island time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He'll be here. Supposed to be. He's leading singing this afternoon. He better be here.
Hello.
Boy, better be here.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know where. Oh, Trudy Mack?
Yeah, where's Trudy Mack?
I just saw her pull
she's
in
here.
15 minutes
in.
Ago.
It takes her a minute to get in.
Okay.
She just
hasn't
got in here yet.
Okay. All right. Chapter 10, we're in Hebrews. Now, what we're doing in Hebrews, remember, this is Paul writing a letter, and we got to go back to the thought of 9. We covered that last Sunday. But let's go back and read. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. That's the intercessor or the mediator. Right? Nor yet that he should offer himself often as a high priest entered. Remember, we talked about last Sunday about sacrifice and offerings. They had to do it every year. They had to do it every Passover. They had to do all these different things to not keep the person perfect, but to cover the blood, cover them with the blood. Right? As the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And that's Jesus Christ. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And we're talking about that as an appointment. It's appointed unto man once to die. It doesn't say a man has to die. It says it's appointed unto man once to die. It doesn't say every man must die. All right, so... We are to the, I believe we're to the ministry now to where we're going to miss that appointment.
Right, we're going to break that.
Yep, we're going to miss that appointment. It's appointed unto man to die. It is. It's appointed for you to die, but it's not imperative that you die, because Paul says later on, he says, we which are alive and remain until the coming Lord shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. So, somebody missed the appointment.
Right.
Okay? So we're going to miss the appointment with death if we continue in the word that we're in now. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now he's going to what? Appear the second time. Hold on a minute. He's not saying this person is going to appear without sin. Christ never had sin to start with. He's talking about us. He's going to appear to us the second time without sin unto salvation. So what? That's this time. This is the second coming. This is the second coming of Christ to who? Apart from sin unto salvation. You know, you and I were waiting on certain people at the airport last night, and for a while, and. They were on island time too. I guess the pilot was too. That's what Jim said. Jim said, that pilot must be on island time. I said, he's fixing to be in Rome. It's Roman time now. All right, but anyway. I told Jim we were standing there right where they all come up the escalator, you know, and the Delta people go on this side and all the other airlines go on this side. I mean, thousands of people walk by us while we were standing there. At least 1,000. More than that. You know what? According to June and I, no one came up that escalator.
Yeah. Right.
No one.
Yeah.
No one came up that escalator, because as they came and left, it was, what was it to us? Zero.
Right.
Nothing.
Until.
And Francine's going, Keith, we need to go ahead. I'm over going. But you know what? Something sparked inside of me, though, because I knew them. There was a connection. So, like I told June, so no one came up that escalator except Keith and Francine. Well, that's the same way with God. He's not a cruel God that he doesn't see people. You understand what I'm saying? But he's looking for a bride. He's going to appear just to the bride, no one else. All the other people is going to be walking by, the thousands of people. And it breaks your heart, because you look at those people and they are nothing more than walking flesh that's going to be burnt and destroyed, and they're going to absolutely go away. That's sad. I mean, in my heart, you're watching these people. You know, we're watching them. Jim said, well, everybody's got a story. And they do. Everybody's got a story because they have family and all that. But that's their side of the family. This is our family that we're talking about. We saw two family members come up the escalator, and immediately We attacked them. Why? Because we were family. We knew each other. Like I said, I said, June, there's not a person came up that escalator. She kind of looked at me and then she said, oh, you're right. Because really, we didn't know a name of one person that come up that escalator except Keith and Francine. So see, that's the way God is. God's not cruel to do away with everybody, but if every one of them would turn to Christ, he would then, you know what? There'd be thousands of family members be coming up to them, but they're not. There's only going to be a certain amount that's going to see his second coming. And that's going to be his bride and his bride alone. That's all. No one else is going to see it. It's even a secret to most of the religious world. Okay? So, and we don't sit there, you know, if you sit there and boast, if you stood there and boasted that, well, it's just four, you know, no more, then, you know, you're wrong. Your heart really goes out to those people that you see them walking by, mostly like this. But I told June also, while we were there, if I was a photographer, I'd stay there for about a week. I'd get me a chair and I'd sit there, because you'll never see the look on people's faces, because there were people standing next to us. There was a young lady waiting for her husband she hadn't seen in a while, obviously. So, but when he comes up the escalator, the smile, that moment of that's somebody I connect with, same way with them, but they just weren't looking for us. They were.
Yeah, they were.
But immediately there was an attraction, and man, you could get camera pictures of the prettiest smiles, unscripted smiles, and the kids. There they are, their hair. Everybody worried about Christine and Louise. Okay. So anyway, so you know, it's unscripted smiles, and you know that's what it should be when with us between us and Christ. We're the only people that's going to know who He is. And we know Him by the Word, and the Word is in us, so it's Christ in us.
Right.
Okay? The hope of glory. There's no hope for those people unless they give their heart to Christ. None. Zero. And I hate that, but still, that's just the way it is. Yeah.
Man, I'm sorry.
That's right. They are really. I mean, they're just going to go away one day. They're just going to completely, whatever they've built, and I was thinking about that, whatever they, you know, you see some that look more the executive type, and then you see some that look like probably they had to pick up cans to get their to get their ticket, you know, and they probably flew in the belly of the plane. But really, I mean, that, of course, they probably maybe millionaires or maybe hiding it. But still, you look at the people and you go, man, this guy right here, you know, he has fought his whole life to get where he's at. Executive, nice, three-piece suit. He's going somewhere, maybe going home to a wonderful wife and all this stuff. But one day, just going to go away. His flesh will go completely back to dust. His soul will be burnt in hell, not for eternal. So it'll just go away one day. And like he never existed. To me, that breaks my heart. But to think that you and I have come to some blessing, that God has thought enough of us to be at the airport watching us come up the escalator one day and say, there's my child. There's my family. And then to have that connection to where your smile then, you can't script those smiles and you can't script those hugs and you can't script those grandmas with their grandkids. Here comes the grandkids, man. They come off of that escalator. You know, mom and dad's kind of move a little bit slow because they're on an airplane, but the kids are like, grandma! You know? So, I mean, that's what we're looking at in Christianity. If Christianity's not made you feel that way about about God, then you need to get born again. You really need a birth. What me and Keith were talking about today. And he knows it same way as I do. He was at a minister's meeting not too long ago. And came over here to a minister's meeting in North Carolina. And they had great contention about the new birth. Just something simple. He said, they made it so complicated. He said, I didn't even understand what they were talking about. So, I mean... And then here's Brother Dale's preaching justification, saying if you'll stay with them three, you cannot go wrong. It's all through the Bible, all through the prophet's message. He did not change his order of getting born again, because he can't change the Bible. Okay? So it's not that you just believe the message and like Keith and I were talking about, you know, all of our persecution's coming within. Good people don't. It's not that they don't care, but they're not over there going, well, I wonder what they're preaching today. I believe it's false. No, they just, they do their thing, and kind of like them people come up the escalator. They never knew we were there either. You know, when they come up the escalator, they might have been 500 people standing there. Well, there was only one person or two people that they knew, and they honed right in on them. Same way with us. There's many, many people that call themselves Christian, but when Christ comes on the scene, you and I should be the one that brings the connection together. Okay, so that's the way. That's the love letter. That's the love that Christ has for us, and that we should return the favor to Him. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, which the law was okay when it started, but it was a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things. All right, well, what is the very image? Somebody. I am. Maybe somebody ought to preach on I am. You're the very image. All that Old Testament, outer court, inner court, holy of holies, what is it? Your new birth. What is all those sacrifices and offerings? Speaking of your new birth, the very image of the things can never, with those sacrifices, what? Animal, which they offered year by year, continually make the comer thereunto perfect. You brought the blood up, or you brought the lamb up, and you said, I was a thief, I stole from my brethren. And cut the lamb, the blood went all over you. You put your hands on the on that animal, and the life went out of that animal and just went away. It did not turn and come back into the person to make him any different than when he walked up there. Now, he may have had a sorrowful attitude at a time, right?
Right.
But he came back the next year.
Yeah.
I stole again. Next year, I stole again. Why? Because the unclean spirit was still in there making him do that. All right. So it didn't make the comer there and do perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. Okay? Because that the worshiper once purged, what were we talking about that word purge, once cleansed, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. In other words, the priest, he goes in every year. He remembers all their sins, and he goes in, and you know what? He remembers the next year all their sins. He goes in, he remembers all their sins, and his. Remember we read you in Hebrews 8, where he had to make a sacrifice for himself first, then a sacrifice for the people, right? But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible. See, this is the scripture that, and there's a lot of people in the message that still believe that people were born again in the Old Testament. I cannot believe that. Well, I mean, I've talked to them personally. Yes. They said Abraham was a born again. Please, people. That is so elementary wrong.
Right.
Close your mouth. Some fly in it. Close your mouth. I did the same thing though. I'm like, we've been in this message this long.
How do I explain that?
Well, Abraham was our father. Abraham was our father of faith, and that's true. But Bible calls him a friend of God.
That Christ that died for.
I know, but I'm saying the Bible talks about him going to soul that are in prison.
Yeah, I know. But right here's here's the scripture that takes care of it. This is one I go back to all the time. For it is not possible. What did the Bible say? It is not possible. There is no way around it. There is no trap door. There's no escape route. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Now we read to you back in Hebrews 8 where the Bible says that it had to be the death of the testator before there could be a New Testament in force. That's why the New Testament didn't start until the day the Holy Ghost fell on the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not in the New Testament.
Right.
It is according to what man put it in there, but it's not according to Scripture. Jesus held the cup up the night before he died. He said, this is the New Testament in my blood.
Right.
My blood, not bulls and goats' blood. Because they're, look, and I'm trying to, you try to explain to people, so simple. How can the spirit of these bulls and goats go back into somebody and make them better? It'd make you a goat. That's what I told Keith yesterday. He said he was going to start buying, he's going to buy goats. I said, what is a lamb doing with goats? And what is an eagle doing with chickens? They raise chickens now. He's the farmer, man. He's going, I just thought I'd throw that in. Those of you that know that, Green Acres. That was one of my favorite. I live by.
Some people don't know what
we got a girl in our B club, her name's Haney, and I, every time I see her, I say, Mr. Haney. Have I got a deal for you, Mr. Haney? Anyhow, well, that had nothing to do with what we had did with Arnold the pig. But look, it's not silly, but it's silly to think that people in the Old Testament, God could wipe their sins away immediately. If not, then the priest would go in and say, "Here's the blood for." Gosh, I've known you for 20 years and I forgot your name. Sister Gwen. This is a cup.
You should have
Sister
said Francine.
I'm 59. At least I remember that. But here, she's got this sin. And here, take this and sprinkle it on the altar. And then Gwen could go away and she'd be like, man, I'm free of that. No, she goes back and the same thing is gnawing at her again.
Yep.
Why? Because she didn't get free from that. But now you take the blood of Jesus Christ. Red through red is white. It just wipes it away. And even if you, like Brother Dale's preaching, even if you come under just baby form justification, you get your past sins chopped off and God will never remember them if you're truly justified. God will never remember the things you still remember today. He doesn't remember those things.
Right.
Now the sin you do after that, He'll remember. Because you're not...
Unless you repent, right?
Unless you repent.
Right.
And keep going to sanctification, which the unclean spirit goes out, and then the new birth comes in. But see, now, what's a new birth? The new birth is the life of somebody, let's just say that in generic, the life of somebody comes into you and says, Sister Gwen says, God help me, I can't stop this cheating. I just cheat people out of everything. Okay? Well, I know, that's why I used that. I was going to use something else. Anyway,
maybe you should quit while you're ahead.
Well, you're sitting right here, so I'm using you, alright?
Alright.
Alright?
Just like a man.
Yep. Exactly right. So, anyway, but she's got this problem, and she takes it to God, and God says, okay, what? Gone. Wipes it away. Back in the Old Testament. Come back next year. Come just the same thing again. But with God, with God coming in human flesh and being able to impart life to you that was in Him, because remember, He was without sin. Right?
Right.
He was without sin. So now what that is without sin is in you. What does that make you?
Without
sin. Thank you. It's just really simple if you look at it. But it's not possible that could happen in the Old Testament. Listen, even that's why people can't get it. This is why they can't get it, because Moses was a great man. He was a God to the people. There was a lot of great miracles happened through Moses. Elijah, Elisha, Noah, Daniel, David. But now you got to talk, listen, you can't make David born again. He's a murderer. He went and committed adultery with his best friend's wife and then had that best friend murdered. He was a murderer. He told him, he said, hey, to hide this thing I got a baby coming. You need to put him in the heat of the battle. Please, people. He thought that thing out.
Yeah.
A born-again believer wouldn't do that. A born-again believer would not think that thing out and act on it. But David acted on it because he didn't have the Holy Ghost to stop him. But look, I'm still listing. You know, Isaiah, all the great ones in the Old Testament. Abraham, let's don't take anything away from him, but even the Bible calls Abraham a friend of God,
right.
Not a child of God.
Right.
Children of God are born again of the Father. Happy Father's Day. Amen? To our Heavenly Father. Amen? Well, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I was just thinking when the new birth happens and God's the creator, that person that came into Jesus was God himself, the creator.
Yep.
And he creates a new person.
Sure, that's what he does.
With a new birth.
Yep, while we sing the song, creating me a new heart. That's what he does. But now, could they do it?
No.
But here, let's go back to my point. In the Old Testament, those were patriarchs. They are going to be in heaven. Listen, we're not kicking nobody out.
That's right.
But they're not bride.
Right.
They are not the children of God like we are the children, sons and daughters of God. They are not the bride of Jesus Christ.
Right.
The bride started on the day of Pentecost with 120, and it will end in just a few short moments here of time to finish up, and that's the bride. And they live in the city with the 144,000. I don't know about Isaiah, because Isaiah's not going to live in that city.
That makes me sad.
Hmm?
That makes me sad.
Why?
I don't know. I've just always thought we could just talk to Moses and Isaiah.
And we're not going to be stuck in the city. You think we're going to be stuck in the city?
I thought we'd live in the city.
We live in the city. But we can go out anywhere. Listen, you can travel like a... He can't have it. We can travel like a thought. If you want to talk to Isaiah, guess what? Isaiah. Oh, hey, how are you? You see, we're limiting ourselves now of what we're doing. But we're humanizing everything. Let's remember that when we get over there, it's going to be totally different than what we see now. And that's what I'm saying. It's not belittling Isaiah. None. Hey, you wrote the Bible. God thought enough of them to they yielded themselves without the Holy Ghost. That's what ought to make us ashamed of ourselves. Brother Brown said, under the blood of bulls and goats, fleas and flies and frogs were created. What about when a person gets the new birth and gets that Creator residing inside, not with Moses, just an anointing coming on Moses? Because remember, Moses was a murderer too.
Right.
Moses was a murderer.
Yep.
He killed an Egyptian.
Yep.
Bible says that. But Moses, remember when his face was veiled? He was God talking to the people. Why? He was used as a vessel. That's why that we give honor to them, but no, the greatest honor is somebody like Brother Branham that was a born-again believer and a prophet. Isaiah was a prophet, but not a born-again believer.
He was the only one.
That's exactly right. That was a major prophet in the Bible. Paul's close, but Paul was never Malachi 4.
But he was born again.
Sure, absolutely. No doubt. But he wasn't. But Paul. But Brother Branham was the prophet of Malachi 4. He was sent to do something where Paul was sent to take the first church age. Brother Branham was sent to bring the last church age and get a bride ready for perfection. Get a bride ready for a body change.
Brother Branham was the only prophet that was born.
Major prophet in the Bible, a major prophet. Because even all of them, Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, all those, they were prophets for their day. But we don't have their sermons. We don't get perfected. We get perfected with them helping us. But we don't get perfected except through this message of the hour. So that's why Brother Branham, and we do hold him right there close to Jesus Christ. But see, some take him on up a little bit further. And he said, that makes me an antichrist. So we don't want to do that. We give him his honor right exactly where it's at. And he's a bride. He's bride. He's a major prophet. And he's a born-again believer. So, I mean, he kind of fulfilled a lot of that. Of course, he was the last one to wrap it up. He was the last one. There is no major prophet coming except going to Israel. You know, Moses and Elijah. But just think, it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. So forget about it. Adam, you said, what about Adam? Adam was imparted eternal life. Adam was made a full-grown man. He didn't come a baby through the womb. He was a full-grown man, and he had the Holy Ghost. He didn't have the new birth. Now, new birth is different from the Holy Ghost. Brother Dale's going to cover that.
Right.
You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of your life on your spirit and die and go to hell, but you cannot have the new birth and die and go to hell. Okay? So there's a difference, but they're the same.
Is
that okay? There's a difference, but they're the same. It's terminology. But you got to remember, you can have the Holy Ghost on your spirit and be Judas.
Yeah.
But you can't have the new birth, which means Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born from above.
Right.
And what's Nicodemus? He was so carnal. He said, do I have to go back and get into my mother's womb and be born again? Because Jesus told him, you must be born again. Jesus was telling him, your first birth is wrong. Nicodemus was going, how do I correct this? Jesus said, you must be born from above. Right? And that's where our Father births. He births from above. Our real Father, our Heavenly Father, births from the Word coming down, burning the old nature out, putting His nature in. And see, that's not what's going to... Because look, honestly, if you got bulls and goats, you got bulls and goats, you got pigeons, turtles, all these different things that they use for sacrifices, well, if that all came back inside the believer, they just all start acting like bulls and goats. Right? But the one ultimate sacrifice was Christ. And now we're supposed to act like Him. Because that literal spirit inside that man is in you today if you're born again. It's on you if you're not. But if it's in you and you become born again, you cannot, you won't go to tribulation, you won't go to the white throne judgment, you won't go to heaven. But now you can have that anointing on your spirit realm and do what they're doing now. As Keith and I were talking about, you see people we're getting our persecution from within. We're not getting our persecution from the outside. Why? But remember, Brother Brown said, bride doesn't persecute bride. So I'll promise you one thing. Somebody's not bride.
Yes.
That says they're bride.
Right.
And I'll just tell you what he said. This is a fact. As Wendy Bagel said, with my hand up. If all you think is listening to tapes is going to take you in a rapture, you're lost. You do not have the new birth. Zero. You may not even be a foolish virgin. But you listen enough of this message, the prophet of God will tell you you need to be in church. You need to listen to God. And then, you know what? Here we go. I'm going to get in trouble. I don't care what Brother Brown said about that. The Bible says in Ephesians...
Yeah.
That you're perfected by apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. So he can't say nothing no different than that.
Yeah.
Okay? So he's saying the same thing. Tad, preach it. That's Luis over there. I'm not pointing to the wall. That's Luis there. But Brother Brown didn't come to change the Bible.
Right.
He come to magnify it and make it better for us to be able to live by it. So our persecution's coming from, and who's it coming from? It can't come from bride.
Right.
You say, oh, they got thousands. They got thousands of lost people.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is, period, bottom line. Okay? Not saying that they won't come, but if they stay in the shape they're in, they're not bride. We just going to, you know what? Brother Brown said, God is a segregationist. You know, we hate it. I don't believe in segregation. But God does.
Right.
God in the Old Testament, what? I'm reading in Chronicles and all that about the kings and all that. What got Israel in trouble? When they mixed with the other races.
That's right.
God told them, you stay pure